And now it's time for the Freedom Fiends Agenda live call-in show. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Call in before they get droned, right now, live on Freedom Fiends Radio.
Yo. It's the Fiends. This is your boy, Nima V, but you already know. And we've also got the lovely Michael W. Dean on the other end of the microphone.
How are you doing, Michael W.? All the way from the Nestlandia Reservation, located geographically in Wyoming.
Yes, the sovereign but dependent state of Nestlandia.
Yeah, I'm interviewing a head of state tonight, the Right Honorable President of Molossia.
Molossia.
I watched some YouTube videos. It's not Molossia. It's Molossia.
It's Molossia. Okay. Yeah.
So, now that you and I both have micronations, and we're going to, I think, you know, if this guy's cool, we'll probably form pacts and non-aggression treaties with him. And maybe we can join the League of Small Nations, which he's a member of. Maybe he could sponsor us for membership in the League of Small Nations.
Or the UMN, United Micronations.
Is that a thing?
Oppose the UN. No, but we can make it a
thing. Oh, but there is a League of Small Nations.
There is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I thought you were joking.
So now that we haven't even seceded. I never agreed to join. And I'm still obeying the rules and laws and taxes of the surrounding area. I guess that makes me square.
Right, because disobedience to the American FedGov leads to carpet bombing, and I'm sure you don't want your cats to be blown to bits.
Says the guy who got a traffic ticket doing his job last night. But
the cop said, I saw you put your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
On. Oh my God. Like while you were moving. While you're moving. I know.
They just love to F things up, man. Those people. They really do.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about deer meat today. We're going to talk about all sorts of nifty stuff. The biggest thing on my plate. Oh, I just wanted to say, though, I do believe that now that we have micronations, the donations we got for the Comrex, even the ones from America, were foreign aid, voluntary foreign aid.
Yeah, does that mean they're tax deductible?
I doubt it.
Do you call them charity?
I don't think foreign aid is deductible unless it's through a 501c3, and I don't even want to mess with that. I did that with my first movie through an umbrella, and it rained on me, and it was acid rain. It wasn't good.
You can't like make up some other random number and say that that's the independent nation of Nestlandia's form for nonprofit.
Well, we haven't been recognized by anyone yet. I think the first step is to get recognized by some other micronations and then, form a coalition of the silly.
Well, since we're on micronations now, do we want to play the audio from the video tour of the micronation of Molossia? This guy is hilarious. Do you want to play that?
We can. I don't know how much it's going to transfer because a lot of it is looking at him. Why don't you play it, but post the link first in the and then say 3, 2, 1 and go, and then people. Well, it'll be off because we're on a delay. But go ahead and post it. Then people can turn it down and listen to us transmitting it, and it'll sync up pretty well. I like he's friends with a micronation that's in Canada geographically, and they visit each other, and they did a. Their air forces did a dual rocket launch using Estes model rockets. It's pretty. There's a lot of video of him on. And then there's a guy in England who made one, his flat into a micronation. It's called Flatlandia. And he did a documentary on it called How to Start Your Own Country. I watched it today. It's great. He's doing it really well for a Brit.
Nice.
You know, for a Brit. I don't know.
For
but
a Brit?
He goes to the British Army and
well,
talks.
He's not
to,
a Brit. He's a Flatlander.
He goes to the British Army. And talks to them on their like on the training ground while there's like bombs going off and tanks going by, and talks to a colonel and is like trying to get the colonel to like join his army,
get him to defect.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. If only. All right. So, if you there in the chat room, if you've got your YouTube synced up or ready to go, go to the 6 second mark. I'll give you some time to go to the 6 second mark because there's some Chicago Tribune logos off the top.
There's a lot of noise that hurt my little kitty ears. It's like,
what's the noise?
Chicago Tribune. Tonight, Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you're ready, here we go. This is a tour of the micronation of, pronounce it, Michael.
Well, I think they say it in there. I don't want to say it wrong. It's not it's not Spanish sounding though. It's more like molestia.
No, that's a different.
That's all the other countries. That's a special micronation. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, the guy in the English one though goes in like out on a boat and visits Sealand and like uses a loudhailer or bullhorn to like get the guy to like they winch him down to the boat from like it. That's a micronation that really is doing it right, man. Sealand.
So are residents of Sealand called seamen?
I don't know, but Sealand is actually the only one that's like still almost recognized by the British government. I mean, they're really like they leave them alone, and they've actually.
And for those who don't know, that's an old offshore oil rig.
No, army military. Well, the thing was, it's a military platform that was built illegally in violation of international law. That has something to do with the fact that since a private citizen has it now, that it's sort of almost a real nation. It's weird.
Huh. Okay. Well, this one is land based. This is Malaysia. Or they'll pronounce it. You'll hear it.
Welcome to the Republic of Malaysia. This is the world's smallest sovereign republic, and it's located on about 1.3 acres. It's about 35 miles southeast of Reno, Nevada, in the Nevada desert. We established Malaysia as a nation in 1977, and we first came here and got this land in 1998. And that's when the nation first had its actual physical location. Before that, it was mostly virtual. And every country has a custom shack. This is Fred, our customs mannequin. He sort of fills in until we have actually a real person to put in there. And these are all the basic requirements that you cannot bring into Malaysia, such as no catfish and no spinach, no tobacco, definitely no tobacco, and no onions, and nothing from Texas.
Except Kelly Clarkson.
This is Republic Square. Republic Square was the, I guess, first public project that we put together for the Republic of Malaysia. Once we actually established ourselves on this piece of ground right here, we also put up the flag. We have a cannon over there called Emperor Norton II, who replaced Emperor Norton I, which was smaller. And, of course, benches, fountain, and all the sort of stuff that you need to have at a public park that you would have in any other country. Most countries have a square that they're famous for, like Tiananmen Square, Red Square, so forth like that. So, of course, Malaysia had to have a square also. Okay, a micronation is basically a declared country, but an unrecognized country. Let's call it like that. In other words, I've declared this to be my country, but no larger government actually recognizes any micronation. A guy declares his backyard or his bedroom or whatever to be an independent country, and that's the beginning of a micronation.
We have our own passport stamp, of course. We have our own country, so of course we have to have a passport stamp. And we generally encourage visitors to bring their passports with. We'd be glad to stamp them. Never had any trouble with border control going back into the United States or when you leave the United States to go to another country. So it's not a real big issue.
Now, wow. Apparently windscreens are also on the prohibited list in Malaysia.
But nothing about guns or alcohol or drugs. I like that. I'm going to ask him about all that, but yeah.
Okay.
This guy's awesome, man. Great. He's so awesome.
So I can't visit, man. You should see if
you're from Texas.
If I'm from,
you have a
the
Washington.
Stand.
Don't you still? Well, you have a Washington driver's license, but I think he would.
I had to update that to Texas.
I think if you talk to his Department of Tourism, and you could probably get a visa, because even though you're physically located in Texas, you are what is your position in Vedatistan?
I'm the emperor.
Okay, I'm gonna update this Comrex thing now that you have a country, now that you've declared one. And anybody who would think this is silly, I mean, what is any sillier than what we just did, which is, you know, you invented a country in the first 5 minutes of this on the spot. What's crazier about that than what countries do?
It's the process, Michael. You gotta appreciate the process. So apparently, if I would have spent a few years and had some discussions internally with the residents of Vedatistan, then maybe it would be the same.
I love that it's Vedatistan, Middle
process.
Eastern. And, yeah.
Of course, it's Vedatistan. What else would it be?
Yeah.
So
wait, what would you be? You wouldn't be a foreign consulate diplomat. You would be. What would your title be in relation to Neslandia? Now I do remind you that we've existed for 6 years, so we have more. Yes.
Well, that's up to you.
In the world
what title you give me in your own independent nation,
well,
isn't it?
What would be a title that someone in a nation would give someone high up in another nation to recognize them? Like an honorary, how about an honorary doctorate from our famed university? Cat Stanton, Cat U.
Okay. Okay, sure, man.
I'll but you're still a foreign consulate diplomat. Yeah. Who possesses...
Oh, yeah, are you computer kill Flanders searching it?
What is it? The juris doctorate?
Of jurisprudence. Yes, I'm prudent with my jurisdiction all the time.
What's the name what's the name of my university?
Cat U.
Really?
You said it.
Cat U.
It's yours. You own it now.
From Nest.
Because that's all we have to do is we have to say stuff and we will it into existence. We just say it. It reminds me of that Larkin Rose video that I just love, where he writes down on a piece of paper that he has the right to steal from you and calls it his constitution. And says, "Well, you know, I would like the funds in unmarked bills, large bills. I'm going to come pick it up tomorrow, and if you don't have it, I'll have to send my enforcement squad out to extract the money forcefully from you."
Yeah. See, what I like though is I mean, that's cool because it's a parody, but our thing, and as far as I know, Malosia, we're not aggressing on anyone, although he is still at war with East Germany. Now, I believe that goes back to, I mean, he's been doing this forever, and he's kind of famous. He's in that Lonely Planet book. He has a Wikipedia page that hasn't been taken down, unlike Nestlandia's. But I think when East Germany was a country, which was before 1991 or 90, he called the prime minister of East Germany in the middle of the night and woke him up. And the guy got really angry. You know, the prime minister of East Germany got really angry at him. So that's the basis of him being at war with East Germany still, even though it's not a country.
Okay. Fair enough. Any reason, right?
Yeah.
It's not because East Germany has WMD, though.
No. No, but he has a navy of rubber rafts, and he has an air force of Model Estes rockets, which he works with other micronations to have joint launches on the desert outside.
Does he have a drone development program?
I don't think so.
Is he in R&D with that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Good times. So we are apparently going to be some kind of sponsors for an anti-drone group. What was that called?
No, somebody asked us for a statement, and we wrote something up before tea.
Yeah,
before
we wrote
tea.
A statement. But I wanted to make the distinction, man, that you know, I don't want to be confused for any kind of Luddite or Ludite or however you pronounce that word that means you hate technology because it kills germs.
Yeah, I really liked you. You came up with a really good... we worked on it together, but you came up with the punchline. What is our quote?
Oh man, it was pigeon to me.
It was
it's in my Facebook. I'll find it.
It was something like the Freedom Fiends are adamantly against the use of drones by governments for spying or weaponry. They would however like to see them used by private organizations for peaceful purposes such as taco delivery.
Taco delivery, yes. Yeah. Yes, because that was an actual concept and still is, I believe, in California. I think it was San Francisco, maybe it was LA. The concept was on your smartphone, you share your GPS information, you place your order, and a drone flies by with the bag of greasy tacos wrapped in tinfoil, and you nom on them, and it's delicious.
I'm assuming it'd be a hover drone, not a airdrop drone.
Yeah, yeah, I think it would be like one of those quadricopters kind of a thing.
Yeah,
is how I would think it would work out. I mean, I don't know. I'm not on their R&D team, but that would make sense to me, man, and that would be cool. And you know, that's my point is we should be very wary and definitely make that distinction between technology that can be used for good, because technology is nothing but a tool. It's like the gun argument, right? A gun is nothing but a hunk of metal. It's an inanimate object. It's the human action when using the tool that makes the difference on whether or not that action is a good thing or a bad thing. And so when a government steals a bunch of money to buy drones, to create drones, whereas other peaceful things could have been created with that money, but the government prevents that from happening, that's called opportunity cost. And then they use those drones to blow little babies into little bitty pieces, that's obviously evil. But if somebody fundraises and goes and finds investors and then buys drones or develops their own proprietary drone and then delivers a taco to you because you want it, that's obviously an amazing thing and a wondrous example of market or voluntary interaction.
So I just posted my Yeah Boy Comrex post with
yeah,
the
boy.
Gun pictures and cat pictures and me on very little sleep licking the Comrex, and sent it to the Comrex company, and they did not retweet it on their site, although they actually only follow one person. They have hundreds of followers, but they only follow one person, and it's Peter King from CBS, the CBS news correspondent. So apparently Comrex doesn't recognize Nestlandia, and even though we just gave them $1,370, does not feel that we're an endorse, that our cat and gun pictures are an adequate endorsement of their product.
Wow. Oh, well, they'll come around eventually, man.
Yeah.
Just give it time. Got to work towards it. Somebody said in the chat room, drone tacos with hellfire sauce.
I like
there's
it.
There's a concept.
I like it. Well,
that's
what's
genius.
The what's
I
the what
be delicious.
You get tacos that are trashy, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Here in Austin, we've got a place called Torchy's Tacos, which has really caught on. It used to be just a food truck, and now they've got like brick and mortar locations all around town. In fact, if you are a fan of the Guns and Weed movie, I'm wearing one of their shirts in the special features.
Where he says, "Lick your eat my."
No, it says, "Show me your taco."
Yeah, and I walk up to you. It was like the day we got my camera, and I walk up to you right. In kind of a dark room. It shows the how it doesn't work well in the dark.
Yeah,
and I'm like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, show me your taco. And you're like, show me your wife's taco. And then you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, it's so funny because you're even yeah. So, if she wasn't, it's so cute that you're so badass, but so polite that you're embarrassed that you said that as soon as it came out of your mouth. I like that.
My mama
you.
Raised me right.
Yeah.
She
I know.
It.
I know your mama. I know she raised you right, baby.
But yeah, at Torchy's Tacos.
And I'm going to interview her soon.
They've got these delicious gourmet tacos. Like, every ingredient is perfect, and they've got some really creative stuff. Like, they have strips of poblano pepper that are fried. They've got avocado that's fried. They do, like, an Asian taco that's, like, seared ahi tuna, like, sushi quality that you get at a sushi place with, like, cabbage and, like, this white Asian sauce that's just fantastic.
White and, Asian?
White, yeah.
I used to date one of those.
They don't have a yellow Asian sauce.
I just wrote her a letter of recommendation for grad school, actually.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But they've got a taco called the Trailer Park, which is fried chicken, and you can get it trashy, which means they cover it in queso, which queso is was a big reason for us moving back to Texas. Because back in the Northwest and in Wyoming, you would ask for queso at a Mexican restaurant. They'd be like, what, you want like some cheese on
the
side?
Dude, you just get it airlifted to you here. You move here. You make a lot of money. We make a lot of money. Wow. Then you move here, and then you get it FedExed.
No, I would have to get like a whole 18-wheeler, like a gas tanker full of queso, and just come and deliver our monthly quota of queso every month.
And if that jackknifed on the highway here due to high winds, it would be an environmental disaster. Which reminds me, let's talk about the deer meat fiasco.
Oh, yeah. And then we can even segue
nice
into
segue.
Another
nice
environmental
segue.
Disaster that I have a connection to. But yeah, let's talk
well,
about
we really
deer
have
meat
to get
first.
We really have to get to the pod weenie the guy who's trying to take podcasting away from us.
Well, we've got like an hour and 40 minutes left, so we've got plenty of time for all our
I gotta
awesome
cut out
to
10 minutes
about.
Early I got a call to make. Can't talk
okay.
about it. But you can
is,
do
it,
less.
Is it a state secret?
Yes. Yes, you could do the last 10 minutes without me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And we have to talk about Death Clock and how great the seasteading anthem they wrote is.
Actually,
we should
play that as our break music.
We could, yeah. There you go. We'll come back to Micronations because it is about. They don't want to seastead onto the ocean. They want to seastead below the ocean as fish. So.
I've always thought that was a great idea, man. I mean, although I've said this before that the ocean is a frontier, but I think. Space might even be technologically easier in some regards because you don't have dozens of atmospheres of pressure that would crush your body and any technology you put down below.
Well,
the bottom,
there's pluses and minuses of both. I mean, the ocean, you can get back to the real world more quickly. For instance, if you have a diplomatic meeting with some other nations.
Right. I suppose you could also use the water to produce oxygen somehow. Wouldn't be too hard. All right. So, what we wanted to get to, though, is this story, and it's probably been talked about by a lot of people. I haven't heard any of my Liberty folks talk about it yet, but I'm sure they will, and maybe I'm not in the loop as much as I should be. But the Daily Caller carried this story, and I think they do a good treatment of it. Here's the headline. State health inspectors destroy 1,600 pounds of hunted deer meat donated to a homeless shelter. So marinate on that, and no pun intended. But so apparently for a long, long time at the Shreveport Bossier, I guess that's how it's pronounced because it's in Louisiana, rescue mission.
No, it would be – it's Louisiana. It would be Bossier. It'd be like the redneck. You don't say it French there. Nothing said French. Burgundy
no,
is
some French things, man. Or Cajun. It's like a French mutation.
Burgundy right. Street is Burgundy.
Okay. Kind of like how Guadalupe here is Guadalupe down
yeah,
in Austin.
Something like that.
All right. So yeah, man. This shelter has always, like, that was their thing, is there's this nonprofit group of hunters that has always donated meat to the shelter. That's the tradition, man.
They're called Hunters for Hunger.
Yep. They go out and kill deer, and I'm assuming they probably take some for their own family, but there's excess because they're avid hunters. And so what do? You don't let it go
to
waste.
And there's a lot of deer in Louisiana. There's a lot of wild everything. Deer, right. deer are one of the only things in Louisiana that cannot kill you.
Right, right.
including the government.
But the catch here is there's a state law against serving hunted deer. So the state goons came in, stole all of the deer meat that the shelter had. Now, for those of you who would get your panties in a twist and be like, oh my God, it was probably unhealthy and all this. No, it was taken and slaughtered according to regulations at an FDA-approved slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
So
I mean, and they've been serving it with no problems for decades. You know, it's like people say, raw milk will kill you. And we interviewed my dad, who's 91 and healthy, and he grew up drinking raw milk.
Yeah, yeah. But get this. Not only did they steal it, but how they destroyed it, to me, is so reminiscent of all the horrible destruction of food when people were starving during the Great Depression. When FDR, the liberal god, plowed fields under and massacred hogs that people could have eaten and buried them in a ditch. What these Louisiana state-regulating goons did was poured bleach all over the 1,600 pounds of deer meat. So not only did the people not get to eat it, but nothing that lives could have partaken of that protein and nutrition. Just literally eviscerated from the Earth's ecosystem. Now, to me, that is a horrible environmental destructive act that the state did.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Stalin did. And I really do believe that this is to starve people and make them dependent on the government. They'll probably give all those people food stamps now if they're not on them. They'll probably sign them up. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who helps you privately is bad. The government is your savior. Here, have some food stamps. Go get some tainted Monsanto burgers. No, I don't know if tainted. Right. But, you know, just go get some not as healthy, not as natural processed food at your local foodatorium.
That's the other thing, man. I mean, I thought everybody had proven that wild animals not only taste better but have more nutrition because they get a diverse diet of their natural evolutionarily sound diet rather than being in a feedlot munching on cornflakes for
fiend
years
phone.
Before they're
slaughtered. Fiend phone.
And it's macrobiotic fiend because it's fiend from phone. Your region, not from somewhere else.
Right.
Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Michael Dove Dean, worms.
Howdy. What's Howdy. On your mind?
Well, I actually just wanted to call real quick to drop a little rhyme for you.
Ah, you sound a lot better now. Go ahead.
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, I'm on the Skypes here. Alrighty, so here we goes. All I want to do is say peace to the guns and weed nation, including all involved in LRN affiliation. Freedom fighters bringing down status indoctrination. Non-aggression be the only two rules to save a situation.
Yay.
Nice. You got more? Or that's it?
No, that's all I had off the top of that from a while back.
Nice.
All right, man. Dope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Email me. Maybe we could work together and get you to spit a few verses or a 16 bar on a song, man.
I mean,
I'm always looking for people to give me extra verses, you know, for variety, man. And that was dope, man. I dig it.
Yeah, it was. Groovy. I'd like to hear another verse of that. Write another one if you can. Expand
right,
on
well,
it.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Expand
well,
on
we
it,
should,
but,
we,
but
we
use the word
segment.
Use the word radio in it.
About the fiends get, I gotta throw that in because that's you know that's just one of those.
Yeah.
It's one of those fiend memes you just gotta love.
Yeah.
Radio
fiend meme. I love it. You just coined something.
Are you listening to the show now today?
No, actually, I was just catching up on some Walking Dead, but I just wanted to make sure I got it before I lost the chance.
Cool. Well, we're on live now if you want to check it out on the Fiend stream. If you go to the Fiend site.
Well, when I get a chance, I'll drop in on the chat room and mess around.
All right, man.
Dope, man.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. See you next time. Take Worms.
Care. All right.
Worms. Nice.
I just love that. That's probably a dream of mine to have a radio show or something like this where somebody would call in and spit some rhymes, man. That just tickles my heart cockles.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
All right. So that was a nice little freedom fix, comic relief kind of thing, you know, to break up the tyranny. Because, man, this whole destroying deer meat is just horrible. And it's not an isolated incident. If you think it is, think again. It's actually a trend, man. I mean, people have been reporting for the past few years now on different cities and state governments doing things like this, you know, not allowing people to even go give homeless people meals, like making it illegal if you go out on Christmas Eve and give coffee and hamburgers or whatever, or sandwiches or whatever you have. You know, people will do that sometimes. Me and my wife used to do that. You know, you just drive around town, see a homeless person, they look like they're in need of a hot meal. Give them a hot meal, man. The state has been cracking down on this kind of individual charity, and I think you're exactly right, Michael, to point out that the reason, the motivation in their head is not really keeping people safe. That might be the excuse they give to the public, but the real reason is making people dependent on the state.
Read the thing I just pigeoned to you. It was one of the comments on this, and I really like it.
Great minds think alike. I was actually going to point to this comment, too,
really?
Because it is just so perfect and really sums it up. So this is the first comment, at least right now, on February 28th. The first comment on the Daily Caller's article about the state of Louisiana destroying the deer meat. In 1930s Germany, in an effort to uplift Hitler and damage and destroy all belief in traditional institutions, school children were told to bow their heads, close their eyes, and pray to God for an orange. After a period of time, they were told to open their eyes. It was pointed out that no one had received an orange. The children were once again told to bow their heads, close their eyes, and this time pray to Hitler for an orange. While they were praying, teachers and helpers placed an orange on each desk. This time, of course, when they opened their eyes, they each had an orange. Yay. This seems like an attempt to convince the people that they have no ability to care for themselves and each other outside of governmental programs. Now, I mean, I didn't fact check this. It could be just a urban legend. I don't know. But I think it's still useful. I think his point is still completely valid in that this is a good example. You know, the state of Louisiana destroying the deer meat. It's a good example of the state saying you can't help yourselves and you can't help others outside of the institutions we have set up.
Yeah.
You can't be voluntarist, you can't be an agorist, you can't do anything without the state, because if they crack down on that kind of alternative system, what they do is they increase their monopoly and they increase the people's thoughts that the state is 100% necessary and we can't do without it.
Yeah, it's so square, man, so square.
So square, so square.
So square. Yeah, F these people, man. So,
yeah, man.
I want to talk about patent trolls because this just came over the teletext. A patent troll has gone after podcasting. Now, first of all, what is a patent troll, Nima?
All right. So it's usually a term used to describe people who will seek patents and go after patents, not because they have any intention of coming to market with a good product, but only because they want to hold on to it and then sue people or litigate with people when other people come out with that product or a similar product. And usually they'll have some kind of vague statement that that's uniqueness is questionable when it comes to getting their patents. So basically, that's why they're called trolls. You know, you try to cross the bridge to the market and they say, ah, you must pay me
toll
my
trolls.
Troll, my toll. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just remembered something. Going back to the government doesn't want you to have food. Even Michael Moore, of all people, you know, who wants everything regulated and controlled, pointed that out. In his movie Roger and Me, he had a segment called Pets or Food, and it was about a lady who was raising rabbits in her kind of rural property in Michigan to sell to neighbors for food, and the FDA came, or the Department of Agriculture, and tried to shut her down. So she crossed off food and said pets on her sign, and that worked for about a week, and then they tried to throw her in jail, and Michael Moore was defending her, you know?
Oh, good. Good. Good for him.
That's a patent troll. The government has a patent on food and charity, on stealing things for charity.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They want the monopoly on everything, man. If they had that's the natural conclusion. I mean, if you believe that government action is good, if that's what's in your mind and that's your motivation, then why not make everything good? And I think that that's how they justify it. So if you take that step to believe in the state, you're invariably going to go down that slippery slope.
Yep. Yep. So going back to patent trolls.
Trolls.
There's a company called, God, what are they called? Like something ridiculously 1984-ish, like Audio Help or something. Actually, I added this to the podcasting entry on Wikipedia today. And
oh, good.
It's not yet been destroyed, so I can just read the entry there.
Okay.
Let's see. Personal Audio, a company referred to as a patent troll by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, filed a patent on podcasting in 2009 for a claimed invention in 1996. In February 2013, this week, Personal Audio started suing high-profile podcasters for royalties, including The Adam Carolla Show and the How Stuff Works podcast. U.S. Congressman Peter DeFazio, I don't know if it was in response to this in particular, but he has written a bill called the Shield Act, intended to curb patent trolls. And the way I found out about this was somebody posted it at me on Twitter.
They posted Twitter. It at you. I guess Twitter, yeah, on Twitter it is at you.
Yeah, and they said someone's trying to sue podcasters, and they sent me a link. And they sent a link that only went to this thing that said, like, call your congressman and tell them to support the Shield Act. And I'm like, I don't see anything here. And basically what it was somebody wasn't doing Twitter right. They sent me to here's the action we demand you to take, without telling me what it was about. But I found it and looked it up. And, you know, my response was not to write my congressman. My response was to forward it to somebody who may 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 know somebody at Anonymous. I would don't write your congressman, write your representative at Anonymous. That's my no, I don't even suggest it. It's a fantasy. Did I do that? I don't think so. And the thing is, this thing may have legs, which is ridiculous. I'm waiting for Adam Curry's response to it, because he invented podcasting in 2001, 2002. And did not patent it. You know, maybe he should have patented it and given it away. I mean, there's people that actually do that to protect something and make it right. Like, for instance, Linux has done that. They've trademarked the term Linux. So because of a patent troll.
Well, Kevin McKernan was talking about similar things to that with Ben Stone the other day, when Ben Stone was at, what was that, Liberty Conference he was in New Hampshire. And Kevin McKernan was worried somebody else was going to patent parts of the marijuana genome, I think it was.
Which he mapped himself, Kevin mapped, right. Our friend Kevin.
And he had sort of a moral dilemma, because he doesn't buy into that whole IP BS. But at the same time, he didn't want somebody else who does and would use it for evil to go ahead and get the patent and basically block him and all the freedom lovers.
I think he should do it. I think he should do it, especially since
I think he did do it.
Okay, good. Because
sure,
I think in the biotech world that he exists in, it's pretty hard to be an agorist biotech scientist. It really is. And it's pretty hard. It would be pretty hard to just say F it and podcast if this thing passes. And basically, there is one judge in eastern Texas, in the neighborhood of where our friend Jillian got arrested, this part of Texas that... the Uber state part of Texas, Marshall, Texas is the town. There is a judge there who is really friendly to patent trolls and generally rules in their favor, to the point where people that have beefs, you know, originating in Silicon Valley against a company in Japan will take it to Marshall, Texas, to the point where tech companies in Japan and China, like, shake and worry when they hear the word Marshall, Texas. Can you imagine that they're, you know, why would they even know Marshall, Texas exists? Mm. But that's what this judge, this arm of the state, has done. The population of Marshall, Texas is 23,000 people, but all the tech giants in the Pacific Rim quake when they hear the name of that tiny town.
Right, right.
That's the state. And the worst that is, of the state, that is the man. It really is.
I mean, somebody that far removed from everything, getting to make a call that affects those things that we all use. I mean, it makes no sense.
I'm not going to slander a sitting judge, but one would have to wonder, in related kind of scenarios or past scenarios, or on other planet scenarios, if like there are dump trucks full of something, you know, money being delivered to anybody.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, you're a judge in some rural thing, and you like living out in the middle of nowhere, but you don't get those big judge money paychecks, stolen paychecks, as if you were living in Houston or Austin or whatever. You know,
you gotta
buy the Lexus somehow.
It's kind of the judge equivalent of like that lady that wrote the letter to all the Wyoming reps saying, I moved here and bought a home and came from California, and if you don't stop passing all these pro-gun laws, I'm moving back. And this 24-year-old up-and-coming, like now famous, world-famous rep, newly minted state rep, wrote her back and said, well, ma'am, why don't you go back? You know, please feel free to, or whatever he said. What did he say exactly?
He said, by all means, leave.
If you search by all means leave on Google, you're going to get like 1,000 stories, mostly like Huffington Post type people bitching about it. But
yeah, Huffington Post.
But think about it. It's like people who live in places that have been ruined by nanny thought flee to somewhere nicer like Wyoming and then try to institute the same kind of nanny thought. And this Texas judge who lives in this place where, you know, the last patent dispute was probably when my great 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 grandfather invented the cattle chute and some guy took it away from him, which did happen. You know, I mean, the last patent dispute was probably over sheep. But
did you say that this company, Personal Audio, did you say that they won a verdict against Apple? That's what I'm reading right now. Did you say they won a verdict against Apple in Texas for infringing on the playlist patent?
Where does it say that?
I'll send you a link. It's a pretty...
If it says it, it must be true. It's on the internet.
I don't know if it is.
They are patent trolls. Go to their website. It's kind of interesting because their website... doesn't say we're patent trolls. I mean, look at the description on Wikipedia. It's a provider of 3D audio technology solutions applied to video games, music listening, and VoIP technologies. As far as I know, what they do is they buy patents and then find people to try to sue. They don't provide anything. They stop things.
According to their LLC website for Personal Audio, Part of on their patent, it says, the 1996 Personal Audio Player incorporated a novel mechanism for automatically identifying and retrieving media files representing episodes in a series as those episodes became available. This mechanism was later widely adopted as the industry standard technique called podcasting.
See, I looked at their patent application. I read it and looked at the diagrams in it. I really don't think it's podcasting. I think that they came up with something for something very different and then tried to apply it to podcasting, you know, 15 years later. There's nothing about RSS feeds.
Right.
It's a pay system, not a free system. And it is, which probably wouldn't matter in a patent dispute, but it's for delivering all kinds of media, not just audio. I guess podcasting is used for video, but not for text. There's also included text. I mean, basically, if you want to take it back, like there was a book written by some hippie in the 60s that is actually like cited by a lot of people like Bill Gates and the Apple guy, the dead guy, as inspiration. I can't remember the name of it right now. It's called like Computer Lib, and it described a system of wiring computers and having things be able to be retrieved on demand. Ted Nelson was his name, Computer Lib.
To me, that's why things like patent and IP are so ridiculous, because they basically said, well, we came up with this great idea where you'd have a thing that had episodes on it and the device would pick up episodes. That's like me in 1800 saying, you know, I would really love to have this carriage that ran without a horse, and it would have some kind of explosions taking place well, in the front, and it would propel it forward.
I'm gonna post
Give me money.
I'm going to post this 1929 picture of a Buck Rogers cartoon where he is basically being a drone operator. It's him sitting in front of a giant screen controlling remotely a weapon that he's watching remotely that's floating a few feet above the ground. I mean,
yeah, man.
You know,
just because you imagine something really cool and then somebody actually builds it and puts work into it and people start making money on it doesn't mean you get any of that money just because you had some cool idea and then somebody did something that was kind of similar to it or even the same as it.
And I'd say even from a minarchist perspective, what they're doing doesn't fall under the right use of patent. And that's why a U.S. congressman is going after it. And I read his website and he's very clear. This will not go after, you know, people who actually are producing useful technology and patenting it.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Well, according to, let's see, according to Center for the Study of Innovative Freedom, whose tagline is pro-commerce, anti-monopoly, so they can't be all bad, although that doesn't really
I mean, that could be something Mitt Romney would own, too.
Right, right. But according to them, in July 2011, Personal Audio won a jury verdict against Apple Incorporated in Texas. I wonder if it's that same Texas court you were talking about.
It is. That's where they all go. That's where they go now to do these.
And they won it for infringing the playlist patent on U.S. patent number 6,199,076.
We owned lists. All the lists are belong to us. Dude,
well, get this.
Sweep all the
lists. It resulted in an $8 million judgment plus $4 million
well,
in interest.
Companies like Apple will
they just
often
pay it off because they don't want to deal with it.
Because they don't
want to.
Yeah, because usually if they don't deal with it, there will be an injunction, which means they can't sell the product with that technology at that moment. And B, they could lose. And C, they're going to spend more than $8 million fighting it. Now, Apple tended to not always do that, though. That guy was ruthless and was like,
well, yeah.
How dare you? And he would like he would spend, you know, $300 million to keep someone from suing him for $1 million sometimes, literally.
Well, apparently in this case,
and I kind of like that,
fight it out with Personal Audio, and he lost because it was in that Texas court. That's what this says. That they won a jury verdict. Now, also marinate on that. I mean,
marinate
a jury verdict in rural Texas. What did you say? It was Marshall, Texas.
The cousins and brothers
middle
and sisters
of
the
nowhere Texas.
Yeah, there's
you
not
have
a big
people
pool,
that don't
man.
Even know what an iPhone is. Probably
at that time, yeah.
Well, I guess maybe not. I mean, it's 2011. Okay, but people who don't know how this stuff works,
people who don't know what a podcast
the
is,
workings of it. Yeah, maybe not. You know, and
people who
I guess I'm not trying to denigrate Marshall, Texas, but I'm saying. Do the peers a
well,
jury
that's,
of
that's
peers
one reason
in Marshall,
they
Texas.
Do it there and not in Silicon Valley and not in New York City and not in Chicago. You know, places I don't really like, but for other reasons, but places where the average person pulled off the street is going to know a lot more about technology than someone in Marshall, Texas, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just sad that those people get to make these decisions. And also, I mean, doesn't it use the terminology a jury of your peers?
Yeah, but that's
now how is Granny
there
bus
was a,
driver
there was
in Marshall,
a great,
Texas, a peer of Steve Jobs? How
there was there
sense?
Was a great Chappelle show of that where it was like it was cops and they were going after like white collar criminals and they went after some like executive and they dragged him into court and had a jury of his peers and it was all like street Latino and black people. It was funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, man. I don't know. This is what you get with the state, man. You get stuff like this that does nothing but hinder the furtherance. Like, I mean, these folks at Personal Audio, they obviously have some cleverness about them. They're just using it for evil because they can, because they're able to extract $8 million out of Apple for writing down some pieces of paper called a lawsuit and for filing it in some jury or with some judge in Texas, you know? Imagine if they put their cleverness to good use.
Yeah. Yeah. They couldn't though. They are rent seekers and tax. Yeah. They're basically acting like the government with the government's help. Now, I want to talk about solutions because this actually could win, which is so beyond absurd because, you know, our buddy Adam Curry invented podcasting, and that's fact. Everyone knows that. There was actually a company in France that tried to sue the internet for the hyperlinks because they had in like the late 70s, early 80s, had a system that you would subscribe to, and it worked by having a little box that hooked up your TV to your telephone and connected with their agency where they would post their stuff. I don't think you could even post on it, but you could like type in commands and pull up weather, train routing schedules, news, you know, little quips and interesting things, you know, kind of like AOL was at first. But, you know, they kept you in their little walled garden, but it was partially because like they didn't really know a way to get you out of the walled garden. It was just like, okay, we'll give you this content that we think people like, and people subscribe to it. And it was called, I think, Vodiophone or Videophone or something like that. And they actually had a system of hyperlinks, like where you would, there was no mouse back then on a computer. You would click down with the down keys and hit enter when you'd highlight and see something highlighted, and you could jump with a hyperlink to something else. And when the web started taking off, they actually tried to sue the web. They tried to sue anybody that was making any product for the web, and they lost, thankfully. Can you imagine that if they'd won that? I mean,
yeah,
we wouldn't be talking right now. You and I would be like standing on the corner, you know, yelling at passersby, probably.
Right. Yeah, and that sort of boils it down to its most basic level of what this comes down to, IP and patents, is somebody suing somebody else for making a product that people want to buy. It's somebody suing you saying, hey, no, you can't give all these people what they want. So how in what world does that not make life and living standards worse? If you have a system where people can say, wait, stop providing service to these people, I will sue you.
I would never propose a Second Amendment solution in something like this. And I have other solutions that are definitely not involving guns. But can you imagine if someone had gone into Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and said, I own the patent on the printing press, give me money or I'm going to shut down your printing press. They would have shot him. They would have laughed at him. And if he came back with a bunch of people, they would have shot him. They would have.
Blunderbuss to the face.
Yeah. To the gut.
To the gut.
Yep. So that's not my solution. My solution is if this actually passes to the point where, like, you know, they charge you $1,000 a year to podcast or something, first of all, we're going to be on radio. But second of all, there's nothing in their patent that would keep us from just posting a list of links to our episodes, you know, without an RSS feed that automatically downloads them. I believe there would also be nothing to stop you from posting a blog post that had a link to download an episode and delivering that page by an RSS feed because it's not automatic.
There you go.
And I also believe that we would be powerless to stop if we made a list like that and published it, and somebody in another country, like the Czech Republic, you know, registered, like, say, freedomfiends.cz or something, and did a podcast, we did an RSS feed of what we did. And, you know, I would damn those people to hell publicly and just declare that they are stealing from us, but we would be powerless to stop something like that. And
well, that's an interesting loophole, because aren't patents, they're native to a specific country.
Right.
There's not an international, well, maybe there is, but this patent that they're seeking is not any kind of international.
No. And basically what people have to do in situations like that is go country to country. And Czech Republic is so little, it'd probably be one of the last countries they'd try it in. One of the last developed countries they'd try it in. But there's nothing in their patent claim, and I use the word claim strongly, that would prevent the way that we're doing BitTorrenting via RSS feed. So maybe everyone would just have to switch over to torrenting us. OG.
Which, I mean, it would take, you know,
we will not be stopped,
5 minutes
man.
Of work once, and then
we will not be stopped. We will not be stopped. We can't be stopped by a drone. How are we going to stop by some droning, weenie, impotent, wannabe technology? You know, I'll bet this guy, I really bet that the person that runs this company, when people ask him what he does, you know, and they see his mansion and they see his children well-dressed and going to the private school with armed guards, and his wife probably working on the disarm everybody volunteer committee. I'm just guessing here. This is just fantasy. But I bet when people ask what he does for a living, I'll bet he says, I'm an inventor. I bet he does. I absolutely could picture that, man. I own a company that produces technology, and I'll bet he uses the word, you know, I'll bet he sees himself in his mind's eye as somebody doing something right. Because really, even sociopaths think they're good people. You know, people that murder people for no reason always have a reason for it in their head.
Yep. They say humans are a rational animal, and some people have said, well, that just means we rationalize anything we do.
Exactly.
So, yeah, man, I would not doubt those things you said at all, or at least I wouldn't be surprised to find them out.
Yep, yep. So I think that's enough on that.
Yeah. But who gonna stop us now? You know, we're like P. Diddy. We can't stop, won't stop.
I want to talk about Agent Orange, the defoliant used in the Vietnam War.
All right.
The interesting thing is, there's two misnomers about this. One is it wasn't the only defoliant used in the Vietnam War. There was a whole rainbow of them. They were called the rainbow defoliants. And the other thing is, when people commonly quote that the reason it was used was to defoliate trees so people couldn't hide, you know, Viet Cong couldn't hide under them and they could be seen easier. That's not the only thing it was used for. They were also used to kill rice paddies to starve people to death. And this goes back to what we were talking about, the deer meat being bleached. That is that the deer meat, that's chemical warfare. That's the government coming in and poisoning something that's good and denaturing it, removing its nature. And that's what they did in Vietnam. They not only defoliated the trees so they could see the quote unquote enemy, they starved all the innocent people in that country who had nothing to do with fighting the war.
Well, starving a population is a really old government tactic and has been used for a while. I mean, even a lot in the 20th century, right? I mean, the British had a blockade of the Germans.
If you control the grain, you control the world.
There you go. Yeah, the Iraq sanctions under Bill Clinton, that was basically a campaign of starvation. That's why 500,000 kids died. And that was Bill Clinton, all you liberals out there who think that we had peacetime and that Clinton
all
wasn't
you liberals,
sitting on a pile
who are you
of,
talking to? Who's listening to this as liberal, other than
somebody who's listening for the first time, maybe?
Or someone who's listening from the defense against wrong media czar campaign of the U.S. government. Yeah. Or, you know,
there you go.
The wife of some inventor who thinks that we have something in common with Rush Limbaugh and wants to stop us and him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's also part of the state of Israel's policy towards Palestinians. I mean, they have lots of restrictions on what they can import. And what was it? I think it was their foreign minister, Avigdor Lieberman. I might be right. I'm wrong. But it was one of their officials said, well, we don't want to starve them to death. We're just going to put them on a diet.
Oh, my
tongue
God.
In cheek, kind of. Well, whatever. We're going to make sure they're skinny and desperate for some kind of resolution. Also,
that's not even Orwellian. That's just
evil.
It's kind of evil, it's evil, but it's kind of Orwellian. But even more Orwellian. You know what the name of the military operation to drop years and years and years and tons and tons and tons of poison, carcinogenic defoliants in Vietnam? You know what the name of the operation was? Operation Ranch Hand.
Oh.
Wow. Like, we're going to help out on your farms by killing them and you.
Wow.
Yeah, and I posted a link to, go to this link in the chat room to Agent Blue, which was one of the cornucopias. It was obtained by oxidization of crocodile. Oh, cockatiel. it was one of, okay, click on Rainbow Herbicides in the first link here. Now, there was Agent Pink, Agent Green, Agent Purple, Agent Blue, Agent White, and Agent Orange, and Super Orange. Now, I wonder if the names of the gang in Reservoir Dogs, Mr. Pink, Mr. Blue, Mr. White, Mr. Orange, I wonder if they took them from that.
Because
that director is about the age to...
The Rainbow Herbicides wiki article also brings up another good point that herbicidal warfare is a form of chemical warfare.
Yes.
So
it is weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's the United States using chemical weapons against the population of Vietnam.
Yeah, and the operative word there is population.
Right.
Because really, under any kind of treaties of war or international agreements of war, basically it all comes down to stay away from civilians, and it should just be soldiers on the battlefield shooting each other who volunteered to be there. That's what it comes down to, you know, any of the... oh, I don't even know the name of all those things they write down on pieces of paper. But basically, which, it's to protect.
Theoretically, from a non-aggression principle point of view, if war were nothing but soldiers who weren't impressed or drafted, who volunteered or mercenaries.
I'm cool with it.
If it was one army versus another army and it was like a game of paintball but with real bullets, then there'd be no problem.
Yeah. Although I think that most of those accords, while they do try to protect the civilians of the various countries, they don't include the word voluntary because not many countries are going to abide by that.
A government document can never include that word voluntary. Some kind of ironic thing like taxation is voluntary.
Oh. Yep. The Vietnam War, I think, is what got young people interested in voting, which is what led to what we're at now. Although, is it any different than like being run by the old crazy white people that want to burn everything and rape the world? You know, now they're just doing it cooler and there's some minorities involved. But, basically what happened was the vote where Nixon was elected. He was going against George McGovern, who was a South Dakota Democrat, which is an interesting thing. And back then they had those.
South Dakota or South Carolina?
South Dakota.
Dakota.
Yeah. Huh. And okay. George McGovern in 1972, in his campaign, was calling for immediate withdrawal of U.S. forces from Vietnam. Now, remember, Vietnam, America was brought into it by the Democrat LBJ. So if anybody ever thinks that Republicans are warmongers and Democrats aren't, look from back then till now and before. But this is the interesting thing. The warmongers won because McGovern lost 49 of the 50 states to Richard Nixon, who was being a warmonger. So the young people, all of a sudden, the young people who were like, voting, that's for squares. All of a sudden, they were halfway around the world with their hair cut, their precious long hair cut off, which I'm not belittling that. I mean, for someone to cut your hair against your will and press you into service, they're saying they own you. But, all of a sudden, these people who the week earlier were having free love in a body pile, smoking weed and having a good time listening to Janis and Jimmy, all of a sudden, they were halfway across the world shooting at young people who they'd never met, who were shooting at them, and they had to shoot back or die, So they said, well, we're going to vote, and this isn't going to happen again. And that led to where we're at now. So yeah, man.
And then it happened again.
What
and
the
again,
hell is it
and
good
again,
for?
And again.
And now the war is at the people of the world. The World War III has begun, and it is the countries of the world, the states of the world.
Versus the people of the world.
You know, the word state outside of America doesn't mean the same thing it means here, like the state of Wyoming, the state of California.
Right. That is a point of confusion, and I wonder about that sometimes.
Any other country in the world, the state generally means the federal government of the country you're in.
Right, right. Because those are all states. France is a state. The United Kingdom is a state. Iran is a state.
And America was supposed to be 50 states loosely connected, cooperating. Mm-hmm, I mean, theoretically, that's what... until Hamilton got a hold of it.
Until Hamilton and Adams were all like, we want to have basically a federal king and a high public debt and ruin everything for you and have a mercantilist economy.
Yeah. Well, I think we should take a little break here and play this song by Death Clock that I think is a great, it's called Under the Water. And I take it as a seasteading anthem. My wife thought this was the stupidest song she'd ever heard. I played the lyrics for her, and she didn't
That's kind of the point with Death Clock.
I know.
Though.
And but I really like the music. The music.
They rock.
The
music.
Yeah. But this song, more than any, moved me. Like, it's orchestral and beautiful and powerful. And it's about...
And it's long. I didn't know. This is almost as long as a whole Death Clock episode.
How long is it?
It's 7 minutes and 55 seconds.
Well, that's
seconds
a good
pee-pee
kitty break. And, make some phone calls break. So... Yeah, I take this as a seasteading thing to take into the ultimate. It's not let's build platforms or have islands. It's let's get gills and join the fishes. And it's beautiful, man. So go ahead.
Let's become the lost city of Atlanta.
Go ahead and play this. Of Atlanta.
Right, here is Death Clock, Go Into the Water.
Going all the way back to 2008.
Wow, that was amazing.
Isn't that beautiful?
I really dug that. I don't really like metal too often, but I usually do like Death Clock's metal. And that was epic.
It really was epic. And I listened to that for 2 hours the other day on repeat. And
nice.
I was so into it, I wanted to share it with my wife. And I was like, she's like, well, I guess I'm willing to do that. And I showed her the lyrics and let her hear it. And she stood up and she just smirked at me. And, you know, basically was like, I respect your right to exist in liking that song, but no, no.
Yeah.
I don't really care because, you know, we agree 99.9% on everything else and we don't scream about the music we don't like. We like a lot of the same music too. Remember listening to Eno with her and I?
Oh, Eno was awesome.
While working on the movie?
Yeah. In my anecdotal experience, I find that women are less friendly to metal usually than men. Like, my wife thought, my standing in my wife's mind's eye went down a few notches when she found out I liked System of a Down. I'm like, what's wrong with System of a Down? She's like, oh my God.
I don't even really like System of a Down.
I like System of a Down.
Yeah. I don't like a lot of new metal. Although Death Clock kind of transcended, and they are not new metal, metal. They are black metal and very symphonic, beautiful metal. The guitar harmonies in that remind me of Queen, actually.
They do. Yeah, it's reminiscent of the Flash Gordon intro, which is reminiscent of the Big O intro, which I thought was awesome, and then realized that it was just a ripoff of the Flash Gordon intro.
That's later Queen, man. That's after they pushed out and got synthesizers.
Is that a puss out?
It's not, but for them it is, because on their first four or five records, they would say who played what, and then they'd say, and nobody played synthesizers. And it was a matter of pride because the records sounded like they had synthesizers on them, but it was all done with guitar.
That is cool.
Once they got synthesizers, they became a disco band, basically.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. But synthesizers rock, man.
I know.
I dig them.
Yeah.
So it's the second hour now. It is February 28th, the last day of February, I guess, 2013. And that makes it sort of a more freedom fix hour. We like to start, or we've had the idea of starting to do resolution in the second act, since we only have two acts.
And
redemption in the second act, I guess. Have you read this? That Matt,
we have a Comrex. We have a Comrex.
Oh, that's,
we have a Comrex.
That's one. Yes.
We haven't really addressed Comrex. That. I posted some pictures of it, and we said, "You said cool."
What does that mean to maybe non-regular listeners or people who are like, "Why do they keep saying that two syllables together?"
Well, this little thing that's about the size of three packs of cigarettes cost us almost $1,400, and it allows us to get on radio. And we have an invitation to be on radio. It just keeps getting pushed back, which is probably no problem. But this thing is what you need to connect from your home studios to the station that uploads it to satellite to send out to all the stations.
It is called the Brick Access, is it not?
No, it's the Comrex Brick Link. The Access Link is the one that costs twice as much and is twice as wide as this. I guess that's why it costs twice as much. But
I was going to say, you can buy Access these days.
This one's good and this one works. Yep. You know, I actually found out, we were talking about the history of broadcasting and how people used to syndicate. And one of the first products that the Comrex company came out with in the 70s was a sort of phone tree link, which basically was a box a little bigger than this that probably cost that much in the 70s. And what you would do is at your radio station or your studio, you would get three phone lines and plug it into this thing, and you'd be able to send stuff in one direction in, you know, talk radio quality. And it would use all three phone lines simultaneously to have better audio than you could get over one phone line. That's how they first started doing it.
I'm just going to say awesome because the UPS guy was here to pick up a package that is supposed to be your package you're sending back, but UPS keeps harassing.
This is really funny. Well, that's supposed to be today or tomorrow will be the last day. They said they were going to come for 3 days, and we don't know if they came on the first day, but on the seventh day.
This is their third time. They leave a note every time saying, "We're trying to pick something up. We need it. We need it." And I'm like, well, you know, you're about 1,700 miles off.
Did you talk to them?
No, my roommate was like, UPS is here for you. And I'm like, tell them that I'm not giving them anything.
Well, let's explain why that is. I bought a really kick-ass compressor for $300. No, $200, which was, it's the same unit you have, but a little newer and better, two preamp compressor, but it's only one channel instead of stereo because I only need one. And because I don't really do music with stuff, and if I do, it's one at a time, and it's mainly for my one beautiful talking voice. So I ordered it. It arrived, and it was dead on arrival. Like, I plugged it in, correctly hooked it up. I mean, literally all of the connections were the same as the one that you have that I used to give you. I know I did.
That is like one of my worst nightmares.
Well, I was in a bad mood. I had two days of bad days with it. Also because we ran out of episodes of House of Cards, and I was like really going through withdrawal like a junkie, literally. And like,
buying
junkies
gear for me is like almost a sexual experience.
Oh, well,
like
you know,
really hot and excited about it, and then it arrives and there's that release of plugging your first quarter inch input into it and watching it slide in, and then you turn it on and it sounds great. But yours was just a total cock block, man.
Yeah. And what happened was, and I even like opened it up, replaced the tube with one I knew worked, you know, and it didn't work. It was just, it powered on, but I just got hum, you know? So I contacted the company that I bought it through Amazon through, and I don't blame them, and I don't blame Amazon. I don't even blame the manufacturer, because when you buy mass-produced things, you know, 1 out of 1,000 of them doesn't work. And for some reason, I seem to get that one. Like, I get the AK that just, you know, breaks. When AKs can be run over by tanks in the sand and left there for 5 years and still work. Yeah. I get the one that...
Well, I broke your AK once.
You and the Vidati, brothers Vidati broke my AK.
I was the first one to break it.
You guys
yeah.
broke my AK and my Mosin the last
the
day
Mosin.
You were... The last
yeah.
day you were here, man, and I still am friends with you, so... That's real friends. You know, they say like a friend is someone who will help you move your couch when you move, and a real friend is someone who will help you move the body. And there's actually a meme going around about that I really like. But
my Mosin actually broke the first day I got it, and it was a birthday present that I bought for myself because I was the only one working at the time. And I was like to my wife, well, just as my birthday present, let me buy this Mosin. She's like, oh yeah, definitely. And I bought it, and I go out there to shoot it the first day, and after the 20th round sent through, you know, one whole paper packet of Mosin bullets, the magazine screw popped out, and so you couldn't keep any bullets. I guess you could leave one in there and shoot one at a time.
Yeah, it became the kind of gun the government wants you to have.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's
a one round mag.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just went to the local hardware store, which was awesome. It was called Ranch and Home. They had like guns and everything.
I love
else
a gun
you
that you can fix
world.
By going to the hardware store, and that's what common right. rifles are.
Yeah, and I actually went to the gun.
You probably
desk,
could have put a
like,
you probably could have put a nail in there and it would have worked.
Well, that's pretty much what happened. I went to the gun desk and I said, "Hey, I need a screw that'll fit in here." And he's like, "Oh, I know just what you need," because he was at the gun desk. And he went across the store to the hardware aisle and picked up a screw that fit perfectly, put it in, and applied Loctite. And I was like, "How much do I owe you?" And he's like, "Nothing. Just come back." And I was like, "All right, cool."
Cool, man. I just got an email from the radio people, said, "Sorry, I've been unreachable the past couple days. We'll talk to you soon. Excellent that you got the Comrex one step closer. Hopefully we'll talk tomorrow. Stay tuned." I like the stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Ah, that is such a freedom fix, man.
Yeah.
That is the freedom fix of the year. Well, maybe not. It'll be when we actually get on radio. But hey, that's in the step process, man. And the fiends are going to broadcast our fiendom into the ears of people who would of otherwise never have heard it and been like, "Freedom, what is that? Does that mean I don't have to pay my own insurance so I can buy a nicer car?" No, that's not freedom.
Yeah.
And we'll learn you. We'll learn you
it,
good.
Does that mean freedom from people having guns in schools in their pocket to protect themselves?
Yeah. Does that mean my freedom to not have a neighbor who has grass that's too high for my liking?
You know, somebody said in that article about the government of Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, poisoning that wonderful meat with bleach. They said that they want someone to do a FOIA request and find out who alerted. And they were wondering if it's actually one of the homeless people that frequents the shelter and is just crazy or just, "I don't like this deer meat" or something, you know?
just tired of deer meat. I want something new on the menu.
Yeah.
Beggars can be choosers in Soviet America.
Yeah. Well, you know, and a lot of people have, it's interesting too, because I like that there were a lot of comments on this that seemed like they were from right wingers complaining about it, because right wingers historically have been like, homeless, let them starve. But the economy is so destroyed to the point where most right wingers, if they're not homeless themselves, have a friend or a cousin or someone who's like worked their whole life and is homeless or nearly homeless and, you know, going to a soup kitchen.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I guess that's a freedom fix too, man, is it, especially with that story, because the public opinion is so was so upset and inflamed by this that there are actually, I know they're politicians, but there are local politicians that are saying, we need to stop this. Of course, their fix or solution is to just cross out deer on the law, you know, so that deer meat could be included. Not to fix the root problem, obviously, just to snip the branch a little bit. But at least there's that. You know, that's good. At least people aren't like, well, good, you shouldn't eat no deer anyway. And good, you shouldn't hunt deer anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a fix there. there's another fix coming out of Colorado that I thought was kind of clever and tongue-in-cheek and funny. Magpul, a standard capacity magazine. I love people who use that term instead of high capacity magazine, but standard capacity magazine, meaning 30 rounds for your AR or whatever. They are announcing the Boulder Airlift. So they're going to donate, basically, it seems like, standard capacity magazines to responsible Colorado citizens so that they'll have the opportunity to own one. And they've got this poster that looks like some poster from the 40s for the Berlin Airlift. And I love the parallels here they're making that, you know, gun magazines and guns and that kind of technology, that's part of freedom. That's part of the things that free people need and should have, or at least have the opportunity to have if they want it. And they're doing their duty as private, responsible citizens to help that. And I'm going to read a little bit of their poster here. It says, support a free Colorado. In the battle for Colorado freedoms, support for Second Amendment rights is being delivered by Magpul Industries Corporation. Fielded in the millions by U.S. and its allies since 2007, the PMAG is the magazine of choice for those defending freedom and democracy around the world. A little troop on nuts kind of thing there, but oh well. Now with the ability of Coloradoans to purchase new standard capacity magazines in jeopardy, Magpul Industries is working to supply as many as possible to the good people of Colorado. Similar to the Berlin Airlift, the Boulder Airlift will bring much-needed supplies to freedom-loving residents trapped inside occupied territory. Our program is to make sure that responsible Colorado citizens have the opportunity to own standard capacity PMAGs prior to potential legislation that would infringe on their Second Amendment rights. Remember to contact members of Senate blah, blah, blah to oppose this bill. So, yeah, man, I like that. I like a private company using the language and the imagery of freedom and democracy, you know, even though it has its flaws. I like them using that to describe them giving out and supplying for much cheaper than market cost gun technology and magazines.
Yeah.
And I assume Michael is typing to the radio people.
I'm typing to the radio. Wait, yeah, it's like some people type to the internet. I'm typing to the radio now.
I'm typing to the internet.
read about diplomatic immunity. We touched on that. Let me pigeon this to you.
Ah, we sure did.
Yeah, read some of the diplomatic immunity article on Wikipedia. It's disgusting.
Yeah, and we did talk about that last episode. Diplomatic immunity, for those who don't know, well, I'll just read the wiki, probably says it better than I would say it. So diplomatic immunity is a form of legal immunity and a policy held between governments that ensures that diplomats are given safe passage and are considered not susceptible to lawsuit or prosecution under the host country's laws, although they can still be expelled. It was agreed as international law in the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations in 1961, though the concept and custom have a much longer history. Many principles of diplomatic immunity are now considered to be customary law. Diplomatic immunity as an institution developed to allow for the maintenance of government relations, including during periods of difficulties and even armed conflict. When receiving diplomats, who formally represent the sovereign, The receiving head of state grants certain privileges and immunities to ensure they may effectively carry out their duties, on the understanding that these are provided on a reciprocal basis. So basically, you can do bad things if I can do bad things. Yay! It's like a codependent couple enabling each other. All right, I'll go on. That was obviously an aside. So originally, these privileges and immunities were granted on a bilateral ad hoc basis, which led to misunderstandings and conflict, pressure on weaker states, and an inability for other states to judge which party was at fault. An international agreement known as the Vienna Conventions codified the rules and agreements, providing standards and privileges to all states. It is possible for the official's home country to waive immunity. This tends to happen only when the individual has committed a serious crime unconnected with the diplomatic role, as opposed to, say, allegations of spying, or has witnessed such a crime. However, many countries refuse to waive immunity as a matter of course. So you do something bad, oh well, we refuse to waive that as a matter of course because we're exceptional, is what I would imagine the Merkin government saying. All right. Individuals have no authority to waive their own immunity, except perhaps in cases of defection. Alternatively, the home country may prosecute the individual if immunity is waived by a government so that a diplomat or their family members can be prosecuted. It must be because there is a case to answer and it is in the public interest to prosecute them. A 2002 example of a Colombian diplomat in London being prosecuted for the manslaughter of a man who mugged his son in a Tesco car park was deemed in the public interest once diplomatic immunity was waived by the Colombian government. So it sounds like there are structures in place if somebody does something bad and they have diplomatic immunity. But there are barriers. The state would not have to have a policy, obviously, of refusing to waive immunity. So it's just another barrier. And just another thing that if the person is politically popular, he could theoretically get away with murder or rape. You know, if he's not politically popular enough, then maybe not. Maybe diplomatic immunity would be waived. But it's another example of how states think they and the people who represent them are above the law, literally. That's basically what this is. Obviously, the wiki page goes on long and long and long and long and long, and I won't keep that to you. But, you know, there's more than just diplomatic immunity. One of the reasons why the Americans under Obama or the American military under Obama left Iraq, you know, he didn't want to leave Iraq. He wanted to stay. It wasn't something he was pushing towards and trying to convince all the mean old Republicans to do. No, he wanted, like more than anything, to keep the troops in Iraq. But the Iraqi government would not put in the status of forces agreement that the American soldiers were immune to prosecution by Iraqi laws. And that's a situation the American military and the Obama administration found untenable. What, you mean we are subject to the laws of the place we're in? No, no, no. We can't stand by that. And so that's one of the big factors in the Americans basically leaving, is they couldn't hammer out another status of forces agreement with Iraq that would allow them to stay. Because the Iraqis stood fast. And, you know, I even think that the leader there in Iraq, the president, wouldn't have been so unbudgeable if it weren't for the public sticking to their guns and applying so much pressure to him that we can't have the Americans here if they're going to be immune to our local laws. You know, if they can continue to murder us all the time without any accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You still emailing with the radio people?
I hit send. It's out there.
You didn't even... I didn't have prior restraint. I don't get to...
What was that 4-hour conversation we had about what we're going to say on the phone last night? I think I think he restrained me priorly. You put a lot of restraint on me.
I didn't know what you were telling him.
I was telling him what... you can look at it. Just don't read it on the radio. I mean, this is like state secrets of Neslandia.
Micromatic immunity.
Neslandia and... What is yours? Vedatistan?
Vedatistan.
Vedatistan.
Yes, Vedatistan.
I'm going to say it Vedatistan.
I don't like Dadaistan.
Because it sounds like Dada, which is art that is made up of absurd situations and has some connection to the Situationists and International, who were communists. Although Stan to a lot of...
Situationists International?
Yeah, although Stan to a lot of people, the suffix Stan, does imply communist to a lot of people. For some reason, like a lot of right-wingers will call... and some libertarians will call Berkeley, you know, Californistan or something.
Berkistan?
Berkistan. Yeah, which I guess is because the Soviet satellite states, some of them ended in Stan, but they're not communists. And when I think of Stan, I think of the Middle East now, which are some of the same states. But, yeah, and you know, do not underestimate someone on horseback with a Mosin Nagant defending their own territory. That's proof of it right there. The whole Soviet situation. Afghanistan and the other stands. What are you sucking on, man? You're eating something. You stealing time from the fiends?
Oh, sorry. I was trying to be away from the mic. Yeah, I thought that death clock video was going to be 7 minutes long, but apparently it's 7 minutes of filler pictures after the video. So I had grabbed myself some pistachios and was trying to sneak a few even after the video. I'm sorry. I always make a big point that we shouldn't eat on air, and I guess I'm a hypocrite. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, I listened to Alex Jones today for the first time. I mean, I've listened to a lot. I've seen videos and stuff, but I've never listened to a whole show. And I listened to all 3 or 4 hours of his show today. And
I think the only time I listened to a whole Alex Jones show was when I was driving to Wyoming for that first reporting job at K2 in the middle of the winter with all my possessions in the Hyundai and on top of the Hyundai in a roof bag.
What happened to the Hyundai?
And I had an Alex Jones podcast on a CD. The Hyundai has been committed to the graveyard of cars.
Good, man. That thing was dangerous.
I took pictures of it. I didn't post them. The Hyundai was not dangerous. It was a good little car.
It scared me.
It just got too expensive to keep fixing.
Well, it also had a cracked windshield for about 4 years. And you see, in Wyoming, you didn't get a ticket for it.
What are you, some kind of Californian? Cracked windshield.
I don't think there should be a law against that. I just didn't like riding in your car because I figured when we're going out to shooting and going fast and hitting a bump, it's going to shatter on us. But, you know, it is safety glass. So anyway, Illinois.
Yeah, people said that, but that windshield was cracked for 4 years and went from -25 degrees in Riverton to 100-degree weather in Texas, and the crack stayed pretty much the same. So,
and you didn't get any tickets for it in Wyoming somehow.
None of the places I lived had laws against it. Wyoming doesn't have a law against it.
I didn't
State
know that.
Texas,
I thought they just
laws against
didn't
it.
Care. Huh. Texas doesn't have a law against that?
Well, I mean, I could be wrong, but the cops pulled me over in all of those states, and some of them even said, well, no, it wasn't cops that said it. It was the inspector in Texas told me it's not against Texas law, and a cop did pull me over in Wyoming, told me it's not against Wyoming law.
It's against Nestlandian law. I'm giving you a warning, but since you already got rid of it,
I have diplomatic immunity. So
okay,
screw
now,
you.
Well,
I'm not going to waive it. I have a policy of refusing to waive my diplomatic immunity.
I'm waving my weenus at you. So in Illinois, which is also known as Barakistan, if you had that shattered windshield, you'd get swatted, man. They'd pull you over with guns to your head, probably.
I get swatted. There's a standoff now for a man who refuses to fix his windshield.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that kind of stuff's kind of a jobs program, too, the inspection kind of stuff. At least with emissions in Texas, they have this thing called Air Check Texas. And I, at one point, couldn't get my car to pass inspection, and it was the emissions inspection, not the safety inspection. It wouldn't pass. And I didn't have the money to fix it, and somebody told me, oh, there's a government program for that. You know, this is really before my anarchist days. This is late college, I guess. And I went down to
Bloombergistan is New York, man.
Nice. I went to one of the little government offices and applied for money to fix my car. And they had a whole website, and it's this whole big program where the state will pay for you so that you can pass your inspection. And mechanics love it, man, because they can just charge whatever they want, and the state will pay it. It's a wealth redistribution to fix a problem that doesn't hurt anybody that they cause in the first place. You know, you have to have this inspection if you're going to drive. It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
But you listened to a whole Alex Jones cast.
Yeah. Yep.
And what was your, or show, I guess. It's a show, not a cast. What was your
He's broadcasting.
Impression?
Man, he does talk radio right. Whatever people say about him, man, he's doing it right. My limbic system was so stimulated. And I didn't sleep a lot last night. And I, you know, 5 hours, which, you know, isn't bad. I mean, a lot of people function on that. But for me, if I don't get my beauty sleep, I mean, look at those pictures of me with the Comrex. I'm not very beautiful, and I had to wear sunglasses to cover up my dark circles, but he really does it right, man. He is amazing, and he is so critical of Obama that he makes Glenn Beck look like a member of the Democratic Party? I mean, he is, he doesn't just say like Obama is destroying America. That. He says like Obama is sent here as an agent of Satan to enslave us.
Yeah. That whole mysticism and occult stuff, that's the main thing that turns me off of Alex Jones.
Well, this
is all satanic.
His guest was Ted Nugent, and Ted was on for an hour and a half, and man, Ted Nugent can really talk. The problem I have with all these guys, those guys and Ron Paul and all of them, is I so agree with, like, you know, 45% of what they say. I mean, the first hour of Ted Nugent talking, I couldn't find a thing I didn't agree with. He was talking about, he doesn't believe that Obama is Satan. He believes that Obama is an evil man and everybody around him is a communist, and that they really do want to take the guns, and that the taking of the guns is, if nothing else. And I like this term by Alex Jones. He said it's the canary in the coal mine. You know, they used to use canary birds in coal mines to because they were more sensitive to the poisons.
They would die first.
Yeah. So when they take the guns away, it's a canary. It's more than a canary in the coal mine, but it is a canary in the coal mine of, like, there's about to be tyranny in a country. And historically, that's been the case. And Ted Nugent was just right on.
Well, in our case, about to be worse tyranny.
Yeah. Be like Soviet style or, you know, German 1943 style. It's getting there. There's indicators of it. There's checkpoints. There's regulations. There's laws. There's people being arrested for stuff that shouldn't be a crime. There's all sorts of indicators, but it's not everywhere. Like, I can drive around my town in Wyoming and not even be aware of the government for the most part. You know, I'm only aware of the government because I look at the internet for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're aware of it because you, are a delivery person in a major metropolitan city in Texas, and you get pulled over for putting on your seatbelt.
Putting my seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big no-no. You shouldn't put that on.
Yeah. Here, I don't think they can pull you over for not having a seatbelt. It can't be the primary thing.
You're right. It's not a primary offense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to notice something else to pull you over for it. So, but yeah, Ted Nugent, man, I agreed so much with so much of what he said. And then he starts in with and I support the troops, and I support the honest law, you know, law abiding police agents who respect the Constitution.
Why?
And then he's like,
how does he not get that? Those troops are Obama's troops. How do you hate Obama and love his goons that point guns at you?
And then he said, you know, he was complaining about, like, raids where they have the wrong address and go, and he's talking about, like, they went in and pointed guns at some elderly widow and tormented her for hours because they had the wrong address, and he was saying that it's immoral. And he's like, you know, when you do a search warrant right, you don't do that. You have a definite description. You have a description of the house, the color of the house, the thing you're looking for, the description of the neighbor's houses. I know, because I have helped execute warrants for the DEA. And I'm like, Ted, he really knows how to push buttons, though. His new tour he's going on is called the Black Power Tour. And he explained it as, when he was coming up in Detroit in the 60s, all of his musical heroes were Motown. They were all black people, and they had a great work ethic. And he said, I have named my, and this is a quote, he said, I've named my tour the Black Power Tour as out of respect to the uppity spirit of those people who inspired me to play music. Oh, man.
Uppity spirit?
Yes.
What is that? I always hear it in a derogatory way.
The way he meant it.
What does uppity even mean?
The way he meant it, like, I don't believe that him calling his tour Black Power or saying uppity is a good thing for the black hardworking musicians who inspired him. I don't think that's racist, but he knows that's going to push buttons and get the Huffington Post screaming at him.
Yeah.
Uppity basically means you have oppositional defiant disorder. You know, they would say uppity and
women's libbers were uppity women.
I mean,
because they wanted rights.
Yeah. And, you know, after slaves were freed, but before they were free and they were getting lynched for looking at white women, they would call them an uppity N if they didn't do anything but say, yes, sir, and walk in, like, look at the ground and walk by. And, you know, if they whistled at a white woman, they'd lynch them.
As in, they want their subhuman status to be raised up to normal human.
Uppity.
Instead of down,
yes.
Like below a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I love man. I love this picture of me licking the Comrex, man.
Either Ted Nugent knows which side his bread is buttered on and knows that that's how he makes money is by being an idiot and support troops and I'm a DEA agent, then maybe that's it. Or maybe he's just retarded. I mean, I don't get that. I don't get how you can hold those two. That's doublethink, right? You have.
I think part of it. Part of it is he wants to be able to carry a gun in any state legally, and he can because he's been deputized by the ATF. And really, I mean, that reminds me of like in Nazi Germany, you know, Goering said, German citizens should not own guns. If you want to own a gun, join the military.
Join up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ugh, Ted. Man. I think we need to listen to Stranglehold.
You know, he was the first concert I ever went to in my life.
Mine was Elton John.
Ted Nugent concert.
Yeah, mine
was Elton John, really.
Elton John.
That was a good show.
There were 78,000 people there. It was great. And
wow.
My dad took me. I was 12. And he was worried we were going to get arrested because people were smoking pot. I'm pigeoning you, Stranglehold. Why don't you silently get through the ads and then play this? I need it's weird to have to have a unicorn chaser and wash the taste of Ted Nugent out of my mouth with Ted Nugent, but we talk about this song so much. And you know, the internet's going to get taken away from us in a few days anyways, and we usually have a rule of like not doing copyrighted material. We did Death Clock, we're going to do Ted. Let's see if Ted goes after us for playing this song.
Ah, okay.
You know, I saw an item that you can buy. You can buy this item on Amazon. It's unicorn meat. It's a can that has a picture of a unicorn on it. Mm-hmm. And when you open it up, it's got like a dismembered stuffed toy unicorn. I really want to get. I want to get that for my two hippie sisters for Christmas. I'm not gonna. They would be just horrified. But yeah,
would they be horrified? Do they have that little humor?
Well, one's a vegan and the other one doesn't eat much meat and would really just they'd be offended. They wouldn't get it. They'd be offended by it. They wouldn't think it's funny. But you got some Ted for us there. DJ Vedati.
Yep, I've got Stranglehold queued up. So yeah, man, this is probably if you think of Ted Nugent and want to think of only good things that he's done, this
two
is
things
the ticket.
Though.
Here's Ted Nugent's Stranglehold.
No, I gotta interrupt you.
Two things.
Two corrections. Right. One is In the last cast and in this cast, I said that I got this defective unit, and I said in the last cast like, and I don't really blame Amazon or the people I bought it from, and I guess I expanded on this in this, but you know I blame the just shooting the crapshoot with buying things that are mass produced. A couple other things. Mm-hmm. One is in the last episode I said. Evo Terra started Escape Pod podcast. He didn't. That's his friend Steve Ely. He was sometimes on it, but Evo Terra started Podio Books, which is they do a lot of sci-fi stuff. But and Evo did write Podcasting for Dummies with T. Morris. And I had another correction from a bunch of weeks back that I think was really important because it made me look bad with what I said. I talked about we were talking about how the state denatures things and poisons things. And I told a story about how in college we had a roommate who ate all our food. And so we put X-lax, a bunch of X-lax in some chocolate brownies and put a sign on it that said, Charlie, don't eat this. His name is Charlie. And he ate it. It kind of made me sound like I was being like the government. I was poisoning somebody, but it wasn't a fatal poison. It wasn't a long-lasting poison. It just put him on the toilet for weeks. And B, we put a sign on it that said, don't eat. Whereas when the government denatured alcohol, they didn't put a sign that said, don't drink. They told you not to drink, but they knew you were drinking anyway. So I guess we did. I guess we sort of did that, but we did actually warn him. We said, do not eat this, Charlie. And he must have looked at it, thrown the sign away, and dove in because he was on the toilet for about 48 hours.
Well, I mean, you are a state, so that makes sense.
I wasn't then, but I had it in
Ted
me.
Nugent. Yes, of course. Here's Ted Nugent's Stranglehold.
I'm going to dance. Y'all watch me dance. Y'all watch me dance. Thank you.
Yeah.
See, that's why I like the song, because most of it is just Ted Nugent playing the guitar, and it's an amazing solo. I mean, why can't Ted just do that? Like,
there's hardly any lyrics. There's hardly any lyrics in that, too.
Yeah,
maybe he should.
Exactly, exactly.
Maybe you should take off my echo.
Next time you go on Alex Jones, Ted.
Maybe you should take off my echo.
Maybe you should take off my echo.
Maybe
no, I like it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So next time Ted goes on Alex Jones, he should just play guitar. Just sit there and play guitar for
but
the
he shouldn't. But he should not have Mike Huckabee playing bass. That was horrible, man. That guy couldn't play at a teenager's wedding, man. At a teenager's shotgun wedding. He's not in Arkansas. Oh, man.
Nice.
So today's episode is called Patent Trolls Podcasting and Is Obama Satan? And I found a great picture of Obama at a church service holding a Bible with a little thought balloon that says, "Thank you, Satan." and I just want to pose one question that we can mull and then end with this. Do you think that the federal government has anything to do with this patent trolling on podcasting? Other than that, you know, a state government that's going to be backed by the federal government is probably going to rule on it in Texas. But don't you think that would be a great roundabout way for them to quelch free speech?
How would that, say it again, how would they quelch free speech like that?
If this thing passes, historically what this means is the company is basically going to say, anybody who's podcasting has to send us $1,000 a year or you will get arrested.
Mm-hmm. I think that maybe they hope for that. Yeah, I mean, you could be right on that. But like you said, I mean, there's so many ways around it, man.
Is Cass Sunstein? You know, yeah, but most people can't do that. Is Cass Sunstein a patent troll?
They try to squelch drug use in prison, and people still get drugs in prison. They're not going to be able to keep people from podcasting.
Yeah, but in prison only
whatever you want to call it, even if you want to call it something different.
In prison only, the really dedicated people can buy or sell drugs and have to spend a lot more money to do it, which means the Freedom Fiends would still be podcasting if they outlawed podcasting.
Right.
You know, when podcasting is outlaws, only outlaws will podcast, and we are podcasters, outlaws. You know, so
we are podcasters. Yeah, yeah.
We're outlaws, man.
We don't recommend breaking any laws,
are
we?
But
disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
But unlike most podcasters who say, I do podcasting because I'd never like to be on radio because it's too confining. We want to be on radio and podcast. It's kind of like everybody in my DIY or Die movie who says, I'd never be on a major label. Of the 30 people on there who say that, two of them are on major labels now, and one of them still turns down money. Fugazi still turns down. Fugazi has turned down several million dollars to play one show, to reunite and play one show at Coachella, and they won't do it. They're really about doing what they want to do, and they don't care about money.
But we want to do it all, man.
We want to make money and have fun and reach.
Sometimes I want to be handcuffed to the bed, and sometimes I want to be in charge, yeah.
Are you a switch hitter with Liberty? Sometimes you want to be the state, and sometimes you want to not have the state.
Yeah.
As long as it's consensual.
Sometimes I don't.
As long as it's consensual, I don't care what the citizens of your nation do in their bedrooms. Although, you know, I have cameras installed.
I appreciate that.
I'm watching it on cameras right now.
Ah, that's your espionage program in Vedatistan.
Yeah, I have
if it's and not a Vedatistan.
Vedatistan.
But not Vedada.
Vedada.
Vedatistan. Vedatistan. Yeah. Please say the whole thing.
A pimp named Vedatistan. So what you got, man? What you got for closing comments? We're ending a little early here today. I got another episode. I have to test the Comrex with the manufacturer before they close. Actually, I can do it after they close, but I got to plug this thing in, man. Come on, people. It's for the fiends. We got to do it.
Yep. I guess I don't have a closing argument, but I do just want to say I'd like to just say again, I'd really appreciate all you fiends out there, especially the ones who contact me, and I try my best to get back to you, and sometimes I don't, but don't feel slighted, and don't feel like you're bugging me, because if you do bug me, I'll just not respond to that one time, but don't take that as a reason to not contact me again.
I've got something new.
I do appreciate it, and I do read everything we get sent. Sometimes I just don't respond to it.
I've got something new going with my one-way communication with the world. We have a new second Face Space admin, my friend Ron Freeman from up where I'm from in New York State. He's an admin now along with Lou on the Facebook page. So they're whenever we blog post, they're posting it, reposting it on the Freedom Fiends Face Space and finger tagging it on the Freedom Fiend on the Guns and Weed Face Space. But he wrote
and they
me
seem to be doing a great job thus far.
He wrote me last night and said, "Hey Michael, do you want me to repost on those places every time you tweet?" And I'm like, "Absolutely." So now when I tweet something, he reposts it within a few hours with MWD says. And you know, I can go on.
So you have a proxy Facebook. It's like a proxy war.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's a proxy peace, man. And I don't have to reply because I don't have any account privileges on there, but I can look at those pages, and I do see what people say. I saw Nikki Darling say, "I miss MWD on Facebook," and I've seen other people say that, and I do appreciate it.
We all miss you.
To get us on radio and barrel through into the next millennium and make the Fiends drone proof, I have to not be on Facebook because I had a problem. I had an addiction and I admitted I was powerless over it and I got into recovery. And I am never going to deal with my tube preamp addiction, and it helps y'all. So there.
So there. Creamy radio
beautiful,
audio.
Beautiful.
That's all I got, man.
All right. That's enough. All right, Fiends. Thank you so much. Join us again whenever we fiend.
Yeah.
Oh, should I play the outro?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go.
Radio.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Worms. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.